I have an emergency. What is your location?
Because there's a war for your soul.
Hey, can you feel it? Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for the war that's already been won. Thank you, Jesus, you've defeated our enemy completely on the cross. And when you rose from the dead, Father, what's left to be said except thy will be done, O God, on earth and through us. As it's being done and declared in heaven, that you tuck each one who's listening into the safety of the palm of your hand, that they will shed all of the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the injustices, Lord God, and walk in a place of newness of life and favor, to rejoice in you, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that you endured the shame and despised that and rejoiced as you took on the defeat of the enemy in our behalf, Lord. And I thank you for giving us power over all the power of the enemy to bind and to loose, to love our enemies. And I pray, Father, we'd start to use these weapons consistently. And Father, I thank you too for the wisdom. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So give us your wisdom, God, and may your heart open our hearts to hear what we're saying today. May we speak as the oracles of God, and may you put divine protection over all of us that no weapon formed against us will prosper, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, has anybody ever heard of justice?
Oh, my goodness. It's one of the main cries of our heart, I think,
yeah,
would you say?
Justice. What in the world is justice? Well, there's so much injustice going on. And I think of Isaiah 59. It starts out in verses 12 through 14. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off, for truth mm-hmm. is followed in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it's saying is there is truth is failing to be presented and followed.
Mm-hmm.
And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. So it's kind of a description of the world in which we're living right
yeah.
now, the
mm-hmm.
the injustice that's just...
Well, it's always been here, obviously.
It's always been here.
Isaiah knew all about it. And so it's like justice is and Satan's distribution plan for mankind. And I think what you're reading here is the behaviors that come out of unbelief. They come out of believing the lies, and the truth then is falling in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because men, you know, it looks like we're doing it, and we are doing it, but Satan is taking our power, using it against us, using the things we love, the things we cry out for, made in the image of God. We're going to love justice, truth, and mercy. And he turns everything wicked, and then we become offended and bitter about those kinds of things.
Yeah, and really what, you know, really not right now in the world, in the snake pit as we describe
mm-hmm.
it,
yeah.
There's nothing fair.
Nothing.
There's nothing fair for now, right? Eventually, we know that truth and justice will prevail.
Can I say something, though? Fairness and justice are not the same thing. When you look at Lady Justice, you know, the balance.
Oh, yeah,
and
the
stuff,
balance.
You know, what that really is a symbol of is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, blow for blow, blood for blood. And that's Satan's form of justice. If you poke mm-hmm. out somebody's eye, they get to poke out your eye.
Where's that the love there?
Yeah, exactly. And so what has happened is we also believe we have a root or a definition of justice that describes fairness, but nothing is fair, as you said.
Yeah, and you know, you look at definitions of justice, right? And essentially what it is justice, or the carrying out of injustice, is establishing and supporting what is morally right and equal mm-hmm. without favoritism or prejudice.
That would be God.
That would be God.
So
only God can really do
yeah.
that.
So you
completely.
Look at the double standards that Satan sets up in the snake pit. I mean, it's all about division, doubt, and war, and double-mindedness, so that there is a double standard in justice as well. So his end game, really, Satan's end game, is to discourage us, because here's the deal. We're made in the image of God. We're built on that sense of right and wrong, with, you know, a moral code of justice, and then justice, you know, to resolve inequities and injustices. So in our world, we're trying to make things right and make things fair, and what happens is we just get more beat up. People who stand for righteousness and truth are rejected, etc. But so, you know, nothing down here is fair. You know, how we get started is not fair. Where we're born is not fair. Some are born in the streets. Some are born in the desert. Some are born in a place where they're never, never going to fulfill their destiny. Some are born to be slaughtered. It's just like, how can anything be fair? And there's no way to make it fair, you know, as far as free distribution or retribution.
Equal distribution of things. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is that we throw the
reparations
blame
stuff like that.
Reparations.
Yeah.
And it's like in a war, okay, you know, revolts and rebellion, for example, in governments. So there's a government that's really bad. So we said, we're going to overthrow this really bad government and put in a really good government.
And then,
so what happens is basically it turns around where the oppressed
become
the oppressors again.
Well, it's just like this. Satan's really end game is for the dominion of the world, but the way he's doing it is through division and desperation and despair. So he removes every morsel of hope or love or even the remembrance of love. And he puts, you know, laws are put in place to ensure, they're supposed to be put in place to ensure justice. That's the whole bottom line unspoken rule, that this law will make things more fair and right. But what happens the laws are put in place by wicked, immoral haters of God, who rule only to oppress.
Yeah, read that again. I mean, share that again, would you please?
What happens when the laws are put in place by wicked, immoral men, haters of God, who rule only to oppress?
That's exactly
who create
what's
an advantage for themselves. And there is no, and by the way, even if that were possible, that you could make a law, there is no way to make a law to make people love one another. You know, so that's why God had to rewrite the Ten Commandments in our hearts as love your neighbor as yourself. So true love will finally triumph and justice will triumph and prevail over evil when love and truth rule. But Satan's plan right now, he's the god of the snake pit. He's not fair. He's going to set up all kinds of injustices to get us all bent out of shape and distracted and run off in a direction of trying to fix what we have no power to fix, which is make things fair. And when we can't make things fair because we're made by God, we become mad or sorrowful or hardened or bitter. And that is exactly what Satan is. That's his goal is to set up this unfairness to grate against our sense of right and wrong and justice until we become bitter and angry and mad at God because God is not doing anything.
And what happens is that, we get into bitterness and we live offended.
Yeah.
How many people are living offended because of what's happened to them?
And how much
lives.
Energy?
There are offenses that have come against them, right? Because this world is full of offenses.
Yeah.
Offenses.
Wicked things.
Wicked things that come against us.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is we experience those things, and then we kind of
we
live offended.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what happens is, so that's exactly the temperature climate of the snake pit is offense and injustice and, you know, cheating and lying. And it's all to make us upset. It's all to upset us, to get us, to move us off of our base of godly character and love of justice and trust and faith in God to bring righteousness. But anyway, bitterness, you know, bitterness is like swallowed anger. But anger, when you get angry, and it says be angry and sin not. So it's not always a sin to be angry. But when anger is the manifestation of our sensitivity to injustice. So when you're starting to get angry about something, pay attention. There's something going on, maybe not quite apparent yet, that is not right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, and so it's triggering our sense of justice, God-made sense of justice. So these unresolved injustices, and they begin early in childhood. They begin in the womb. They begin when your parents are not being parents and you have to take care of them and make them happy, and you're spending your whole life just to make them happy, and you're losing yourself, and you're beginning also to be programmed that this is my job to make everybody happy, or whatever those many, many ways this thing can go. But So when we can't resolve the injustice, can't come after your parents because you're 5 years old and, you know, whatever, you swallow that pain and that hurt, and because we believe it has to be kept and recorded somewhere so that someday, maybe on Judgment Day, we'll remind God that he needs to deal with this. And I think that's where some people want to stay mad until they die, because then I'll make sure that I'll tell God what happened to me, and then he can fix it. And so, but you use your whole life as a carrier for injustice. So we're tempted to tuck that anger, injustice, bitterness, those atrocities, those travesties, that guilt, that shame, that confusion, those unfair things, those, they're actually moments when we were rejected or afraid or mocked or run or ripped off or run over. We take and tuck these things into our bellies, where they become, that's why we become bloated with bitterness. And the enemy uses our soul to get another opportunity to bring physical sickness and weakness to our bodies. So your body and soul are connected. So when something happens and you tuck that anger into, and many do, they put that spirit, that bitterness, that hurt, that pain, that offense into their bowels, into their stomachs. And that's where they have indigestion, because God did not create your stomach to process bitterness. It was to process food. And so a lot of times people need to look at that. But then you go back and say, well, what about that? It's time to cast off these hidden works of darkness and deal with injustice. But who can do that? So the only one who can do that is God. And so you and I have to trust that God marks this down. He's keeping record of all this stuff. He is not going to forget. You can give it to him. He is the judge. You don't have to be the judge in this matter. Stop being the judge. As a matter of fact, forgive and give up the position of judge through forgiveness and become the plaintiff. And now you can actually present these cases, these injustices, before you die, before you get to the white throne judgment. You can present them anytime you want right now, because the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy to find help in time of trouble. What does that mean? You go to court to get justice, right? So he's saying, if there's things in your life that have been done to you that are not good, he says, move your position of judge, saying that's wrong, that's not right. Move to the position of you hurt me, and I'm going to bring this crime to the Lord God and let him figure it out. Because a lot of times you are not, and I are not able to separate out the demon from the person. So it's the demonic spirit of bitterness or injustice or lying or accusation that is provoking us. And we take up their banner. Okay, I'm going to go get justice. When in fact, it's the demon who needs to be dealt with, not you getting justice. God will deal with both the human. And so many people, you know, they're practicing witchcraft against you. They're lying about you. They're setting you up. They're stealing your stuff. They're jealous of you, whatever. What are you going to do about that except give it to God and let him deal with his kids? Those are his kids too, you know.
And so, and a lot of people will say, okay, why does God always allow this? He's allowed this for centuries, thousands of years. He's allowed this evil to prevail. Well, he's allowed Satan to kind of run roughshod over here. He has allowed us to make our choices.
He's allowed us to have our free will. And God, and someone is saying to me the other day, well, why didn't God stop this? And God said to them, I couldn't stop this, because if I would stop this, I would have taken away that man's free will or that person. And so, but God lets us exercise our free will. And most of the time, we make really stupid choices based on the devil's influence, on reality, on how we feel, on reasoning, on the temperature of the wind or whatever it is. And we make these dumb choices, and then we blame God for the bad choices we made. It's like, how is that fair for God? He's the one getting blamed for everything, but he is the one ultimately who's going to fix it. But here's the good news. Whatever Satan is using to break you, it's fair, it's just, for God to use that very exact same thing to make you. That's the law of reciprocity. If Satan wants to use the woman to destroy the garden, God says, okay, now I get to use the woman to heal the world and bring salvation. And so this is, remember, what Satan is using to break you, God is using to make you. So just be patient. Let love and God have their perfect work. It's even like this, even in physics, Jerry. There's that law that says every action demands an equal and opposite reaction. Why? to maintain the delicate workings of justice, equity, and safety of function. If the world couldn't correct itself, right itself, be put back into that harmony, the world would blow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But so in this panorama, plethora, whatever we want to call it, of injustice, this is the atmosphere of the world. Mm-hmm. This is the world in which we live in. This is human interaction, human relationships, mm-hmm. injustice, and the results of injustice that just plague us, overwhelming mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. In the midst of that, God has called us to live in a victorious manner.
Yeah, no, it's a little, I heard this very cool analogy from one of my people I talk with the other day, and she says, yeah, my life, you know, they were just, you know, what kind of, I'm a flower, I'm a rose, but they were dumping all kinds of horrible, you can use kind of various manure, garbage, on my life to smother me. But what happens is in the spring, when all that is decomposed, all that injustice, all of that rot, what happens is it brings forth the rose, and the yeah. rose doesn't smell like the garbage.
Right.
The rose has a beautiful smell. And so this is what God, he's making beauty for ashes out, you know, bringing that beautiful smell of the rose out of the atrocities of the evil one. So, but here's the deal. So Satan is the god of this world. He is not here to promote life or justice. He's here to steal, kill, I added a new word, cheat, and destroy. He's not wanting to make this place a better place, but we do, because we love God. But we are in an adverse situation where we, you know, we're caught in this world and in this cauldron, in this snake pit, and God is working to perfect that which concerns us, to bring that beauty, that rose, smell of the rose, out of this horrible, wicked situation.
Let's look to the supreme example of this, of course, is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it tried to kill him when he was a baby,
mm-hmm.
tried to kill him when he was a young man, lied about him, falsely accused him, you know, had a kangaroo court, more false accusations, injustice, and a horrible, we can't even call it a trial, travesty,
right. mm-hmm.
and then lied about and crucified,
mm-hmm.
As the lowest of the low criminals, yet through all that, mm-hmm. what he brought truth, he brought life, he brought hope,
well,
he brought deliverance,
yeah.
he brought forgiveness, he brought everything good out of that, even though he is in this world being cruelly oppressed.
The most.
Mm-hmm. More oppressed than anybody. Really.
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, talking about, we're watching. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets or ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, that race of against bitterness, that race against injustice, that race against the lies of the enemy. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He was mocked. He was put to shame. He was ridiculed, you know, stripped naked, beaten, you know, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He didn't pick up the offense. He said he rested his soul in God, in God's justice to bring forth justice. He let God be the judge. He just
yeah.
simply allowed. And every great human being that's exampled in the Bible, man or woman, you will see it if you read it, how they were attacked by injustice, by slander, by lies. Saul chasing David all over the place. Moses, you know, before the Pharaoh and in the court. Elijah, remember Elijah? So he's going up against Jezebel at Mount Carmel, and he has a great victory that day. And then, boom, she pulls all her forces together and chases after him and says, I'm going to kill you, and all of that.
Every true man or woman of God.
That would include you. You are a great man or woman of God. And so don't be shocked and don't be offended You know, it's not like we're going to say, okay, bring it on. I don't need to say bring it on to the devil. He's already bringing it on. I say, no, you won't. Stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
go.
You know, I'm not picking a fight with the devil. We're already in a deadly battle with the devil. But of course, God has already won. But we have to choose to believe what the Word of God says as opposed to what it looks like all around us. Because I'm telling you what, everything, this is a prophetic word. I've heard others say it too, but everything you think of as stable and strong and foundational in your world, in your life, and in the church is going to be shaken to the core where the foundation is removed. I mean, God let it happen in the temple. He said the temple was torn up. You know, Satan trashed the temple back in the day, and God let it happen. Jerusalem was burned down. Why? Because God let it happen.
He says, I'm done with that.
He wasn't bringing justice. He was bringing cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that he could get rid of the crooked, wicked, broken, unjust foundation so he could build and start over again. So we have to realize we're in this process. This is not the end. You know, we don't want to use our energy to stay mad when you can use your life to love and to be loved and to show encouragement. There's plenty of ways out here you can spend your time, plenty of need to show people the love of God, the tender mercy of those who even are set up in opposition to themselves. Satan is so clever that he actually uses us against ourselves to destroy us, you know, sets us up in opposition to ourselves, as it says in Romans. No, Timothy, 2 Timothy. Sorry. I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, he even got that taken out of the Bible. The last couple of versions don't even do 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, 5, and 6. Set up in opposition to themselves has been deleted, omitted. But that's the real case of what's going on. So Satan's trying to set up that war within us as well and make us feel bad. And like we have been walked on, stepped on, kicked aside, and we don't count. And stop it. Know who you are. Don't go redefining yourself by what's happening to you. The more the bad things are happening to you, probably the greater you are in the kingdom of God, if you want to look at it that way.
So another thing, too, is we can get into a whole lot of self-pity.
There you go.
And depression.
Mm-hmm.
And people just wanting, you know, being suicidal,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So here we are. And another thing, too, is that what we do is, well, what about people? You're in this world. It's so oppressive.
Mm.
So what do you sense, Marjorie, is the key to keeping your focus
on Jesus,
on the Lord, so you're not going to get swallowed up, overwhelmed, buried in all this oppression and
injustice?
We
must know the truth. We have to lay aside the programming and the lies that we've been believing about who we are. We do sins, yes, but Satan's tried to redefine us by our behavior. We do something bad, and then he's trying to fix it by getting us to do something good. But that's not the solution to the problem. The sin problem has already been solved by Jesus Christ. So the first thing is to know the Word of God and to know who you are, that you are the created son or daughter of God. You're not here to be defeated or destroyed. You're here to be more than a conqueror through the love and power and testimony of Jesus Christ and his Spirit that works in us. It's not that we have to do this all ourselves. We have been equipped with the armor of God and clothed within by the Spirit of God. And if we will stop trying to do it ourselves and get mad and kick the rock down the road and try to figure it out again, just be and respond to the Spirit of God, we will be walking as more than conquerors.
So another thing here too, you know, do we really need justice in this earth right now? Do we need justice? Eventually, we know the righteous judgment of God. There's going to be justice will eventually mm-hmm. prevail. And mm-hmm. sometimes we think, when is that going to happen? But in the meantime, what is God focusing on? What is God dispensing
mm-hmm.
during these times? It's grace
mm-hmm.
and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and mercy are the order of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Not so justice is there. It's in a sense in the background, and it's going to be completely
honored
one day.
Yeah, it's not our job to bring justice. He didn't say bring justice. He said love. He said love
right.
one another.
Grace,
forgive.
Mercy, and love.
Yeah,
and truth.
And so to do that in the midst of this onslaught of injustice is a great opportunity. It's a great accomplishment to be able to stand and having done all to withstand in the evil day by staying in that place of rejoicing and thanksgiving and faith with God and not becoming bitter and swallowed up by the enemy's plot to swallow you up and make you bitter.
So the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is within us. Mm-hmm. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of this satanic world order,
yeah,
is the kingdom of God, where there is grace, mercy, truth, and love.
But we see all these things. It's so spiritual. It sounds so. We hear it all the time. But to actually put traction to this thing and walk it out, mm-hmm, it takes guts. It takes courage. It takes focus on God and not to be distracted. Satan says, so we have to identify if there is bitterness in you that you're holding resentment or injustice or carrying these works. The enemy is saying, here, hold this for me. Hold this anger, hold this pain, hold this injustice for me until things can be made right. And of course, we want things right. So we bought the lie and bit the hook. But in the meantime, as we're holding these things to bring them to justice, they're rotting away in our souls and souring our bellies. And so they make us sick. And so, Satan has not only got you the first time using the first crime against you, but he's also committing a second crime against you by getting you to hold on to the injustice and the bitterness. So release it to God. Here's what you do. If you have people who sinned against you, maybe you believe you've sinned against yourself, maybe you're mad at yourself, who knows, what are the lies you believe? Bring those problems, injustices, crimes to the court of heaven by forgiving. Forgive yourself, forgive the people you're mad at, forgive those who lived before you, who didn't do their job, whatever, they may be dead. Forgive them. But Jesus says, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. That means you can release them to the court of heaven. Let God now be the judge. You come into the court as the plaintiff and say, here's what happened, da, 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 da. And you can make it as detailed as you want. He's got time. Present your case and then ask Jesus, who is the faithful witness, to testify to the truth of what you just said. He's already the witness. He was at the scene of the crime. He knows what happened. And give him the opportunity to speak on your behalf to the court. You don't have to make your own case. God already knows your heart. When we try to defend ourselves, it all gets messed up anyway. So let God defend you. Let God vindicate you. And you give your problem, your burden, the injustice to God. And you then let him carry it. Because here's now the deal. Now you're going to trust in God that he is fair. He is righteous. He's just. And he's going to make everything that wasn't fair and was wrong right. He's going to make it right. You look at how he's done that with Job, and I'm even thinking of Ruth in the Bible, how these people, and they were set up in really bad situations, and God turned it around where they became, you know, part of his genealogy or the great-great-grandmother of David or somebody. You know, so it's like give God time to do something. Don't just throw in the towel and throw your fit, get mad, pout, and stay mad. It's just not going to be healthy for you.
The Lord is working out his plan in the midst of all this, right? There's a plan for you, for your life. And as you just trust him and don't freak out, mm-hmm, just trust and rest and walk and hear his voice. Mm-hmm. Do what he says.
Be anxious in nothing.
And just keep seeking him for his guidance, and you'll get his guidance.
And here's the deal. God is a last minute God. He's beyond your deadline. You have a deadline. Okay, God, you got to do this by this and this. He will miss the deadline for sure. He will push you to the next level of letting the devil have another swipe at you just so God can be God. I mean, he didn't open that Red Sea the day before they needed it. It was like the morning they had to go through it. And so here's the deal. We have to be able to understand this whole thing where we're standing in the evil day and having done all to stand in your integrity, in our hope of seeing God, who's going to bring all things to justice. Can you imagine that day? I can't even, but I have been trying to think about it, meditate on it. God does not forget. He will bring justice because he has to, because that is half of who he is. The other half is mercy. He says with the merciful, he will show himself merciful. With the shrewd, he will show himself shrewd. So you want to be on the right side of God's justice when the judge, when he makes everything right. So let us let him be the judge and end up on the right side of God's justice. Let God, you know, by the way, you know, choosing, we choose whether we're going to believe God in every situation. There's simply one choice, either believe God or don't. That's it, bottom line. If you reduce everything down you're looking at right now, every opportunity to sin, every opportunity to make money, every opportunity to do whatever, it's either going to reduce down to let God be God and trust him, or you're going to take matters into your own hands. And so do not let the devil help you make your choices for you. That's basically lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah, he says, at the end of his life, Paul said, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge,
Amen.
Will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing.
Thank you, Lord, for the appearance and the coming of the righteous judge. And Lord, that we will not be afraid on that day, because we will be excited about looking forward to your truth, you being vindicated in all that you've put in our hearts to know you to be. So Father God, I pray that if we're having trouble with things not being fair, having a hard time forgiving, that you will give grace. Speak. Let your word speak to our hearts and set us free in Jesus' name, that we can be free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
So you've got a book called A Case for Justice. Tell us about that.
Yes, I do. It's a case for justice. It's a very kind of a deep looking into what about this? What about that? What's justice? Why did this happen? Blah, blah, blah. If God is so good, then why? I guess that's the basic, subtitle. If God is so good, then why? But I also have a couple other things I would like to offer. One is called When Life's Not Fair. It's an MP3 that can be also purchased at liferecovery.com. And I would really encourage you, When Life's Not Fair, or Why Bad Things Are Still Happening to Me, or Who Am I? All of these little 60-minute CDs or teachings are very helpful, and you can play them over and over again. And I would really encourage you, liferecovery.com, check it out. And God bless you, and may your day be filled with joy, rejoicing, and peace. Shalom.
I have an emergency. What is your location?
Rescue Radio, because there's a war for your soul.